We've gone through these things several years ago whenever the Supreme Court ruled that two men or two women could marry one another. And we went about through all of that, and many thought, well, that's going to be the end. It'll go no farther than that. And my, oh my, how much farther is it going to go? I hope America wakes up. A lot of the things that are going on today are cover-ups, because there's a lot of our politicians, a lot of our leaders that have been involved in having sexual relationships with children. So Christ deals with this aspect of divorce. You know why it's so important? Because the marriage between a man and a woman is holy and sacred. And it's important as part of the fabric of our society. Whenever we begin to move away from some of the very foundations of a society, it's amazing how far you'll go. I sense in our land today that it's almost like we've pulled up our anchor and we've just said, how far are we going to drift? It's scary sometimes how far we are going to go. So let's read some verses today. And I walked into the sanctuary this morning. In fact, I've struggled with this all week. In fact, those of you that know, for the last 8 weeks, 2 months, a little over 2 months, I've preached in everywhere except for the Gospel of Mark. Before the coronavirus hit, I was in chapter number 9. And then I came to chapter 10 and I said, oh God, what am I going to do? And then He sent the coronavirus. I'll never pray that again, amen. But I said, I don't know. I don't know how to preach this. I don't know what to say about this. And I still don't today. I'm still standing here. But we're going to go through it, because at least I want to get past it. I wanted to skip over it, but I was afraid that some would say, hey, preacher, you missed those first 12 verses. Many of you wouldn't. You wouldn't even recognize it. Do you guys know that there have been 3 times in my ministry here that I've preached the same exact sermon 3 Sundays in a row? Some of you are like, really? When? Well, last Sunday was one of them. No, I'm joking, all right? Some of you are like, what? And then Steve, you know what he asked me up here on the platform? He said, we're supposed to get out at 11:30. God bless some of you. Verse number one. Let's deal with this today. Verse number one, he arose from thence, talking about Christ, and he cometh in the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. I've been thinking about this over the last couple days, and I thought, you know, whenever I'm on the far side, whenever I'm away from God, as far as I can get sometimes, I'm so glad that Jesus is still able to come into my life and find me where I'm at. And that's what I see here. But notice what happened as, and the people resort unto him again. Resort. What an odd word. They come to him and they camp out. They come to him and they relax. They come to him for solace and help and maybe an island in the middle of a sea, maybe a place in the middle of a storm, and they come to him, and as he was wont, or as was usual, he taught them again. I see this in this verse, and this is not really part of the message today. It doesn't really matter where you're at in your spiritual walk. If you'll just stop and ask Christ to help you, He will. And then verse number 2, as he's teaching and he's leading the group, the Pharisees. Now the Pharisees were the local religious leaders. They were the ones that had all the power at this point. They made the rules, and they had gotten away from the Word of God, and they came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? And I want you to underline 2 words in your Bible if you are in the habit of doing that. The words, tempting him. Tempting him. You know, they came to Jesus and they didn't really care about the Lord's opinion on this. They had their mind made up. How many of you know people that have their mind made up no matter what? And it wouldn't matter. I've said this, some of you are pointing at your spouses and you're saying, and you know, I'm surprised Tina didn't say something. She's probably playing on Facebook. But it may seem strange as we get into this text. It may seem strange, but divorce was really rampant in this early society. Now, at this point, the Jews were under control of the Romans, and it wasn't that odd or different that a Roman man may have as many as 15 or 20 wives in a lifetime. Can you say, wow, they were crazy? Tina and I, next March, will be married 35 years. 35 years. It's like, oh, what a glorious... I can't remember us ever having an argument. Of course, my doctor said recently that I was in the early stages of dementia. We didn't quite understand. But I'm going to tell you something. In those 35 years, there have been good times. There really have. But there have been some bad times, too. There have been some times that we have looked at one another and we said, oh, not another word. Walked away. We've broken the admonition of don't go to bed angry at your spouse. Because there have been days that we've held on to that. Until finally we said, oh, we got to do something here. Unfortunately for Tina, when she decided to do something, the gun was unloaded and she couldn't pull the trigger. You know, divorce continues to be a problem in our day. Not as much as it used to be because so many people today are living with one another rather than just marriage. But I've heard all of my ministry that 50% of marriages end in divorce. And I've even said that. I've taught that. And then one day I finally decided, you know what, I think I'm going to do something that I should have done years ago. I'm going to study it out. May I say this? That's not true. 50% of today's marriages do not end in divorce. A matter of fact, only about 36% of first-time marriages end in divorce. Well, here's some interesting statistics. Those that attend church once a month, their divorce rate is about 33%. Those that attend church regular, about three or four times a month, is about 26%. Those that attend church and live a Christ-like life, they read their Bible, they pray, they're regularly in witnessing. I think I have that screen. Amber, if you will, put that slide up. I'm sorry I've interrupted the Bible verses. I'll get to the message in a minute. There you go. A married couple actively involved in the Christian life, church attendance, personal Bible reading, prayer time, the divorce rate is in the low 20s to the mid-teens. And all God's people said, it's a lot better than you hear, isn't it? Can I tell you something? There's hope. It doesn't have to break apart. But they come to Christ and they're asking Him, they said, how can we do this? So now, Amber, we're going back to the Bible again. I'm sorry. We're going to go back to verse number 3. And He answered and said unto them, what did Moses command? You know what He said? He said, show me in the Bible. Have you ever had somebody say something to you, and well, the Bible says, and you're thinking, no, it doesn't. You know what? It would be cool. Just take your Bible and say, can you show me? That's what Jesus did to these guys. And they just got as quiet as you guys just did. They said, what do you think about this? How can we get away with this? And Jesus said, what does the Bible say? Well, and here's what they said. They said, well, Moses suffered or allowed to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. Now, these men are coming and they're trying to put Jesus to shame. They're trying to test Him in a malicious sense. They're trying to get Him into a theological debate. As a matter of fact, if you understand the area that they're in, this is the area that Herod was ruling in. Well, just a few years before, John the Baptist had gone to Herod and said, hey, the wife that you have was your brother Philip's wife. She's actually your half-niece, and you ought not to be married to her. They ended up putting John the Baptist in jail and ended up having his head cut off because of that. So this is the area where Jesus is at. I'm telling you, they are trying to lead him into trouble here. But over and over again, Christ understands and knows what's going on. They said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. These men were coming to Christ and they were either of one or two camps. There was one camp in the early first century that said that you could put away your wife for any reason. By the way, before Christianity came into the world, ladies, you had no power. You were treated as objects and things and property. But Jesus changed all that. Shake your head up and down. Praise God for that. Amen? In fact, never mind, we won't go any farther. But there was one group that they said that a man could divorce his wife for any reason. If she put too much salt on the food, that's it. I write you a bill of divorcement, you got to get out. Burn the biscuits, you're done. Don't wash the dishes, you're done. I'm going to stop there. If she spoke evil of her mother-in-law, done. If her husband saw another woman that was prettier, done. I'm going to tell you something. There was one group here, they were pretty liberal. It's amazing to me, these Pharisees, they were so hard and legalistic in any other area, but in this area, many of them, they found a loophole. Isn't that how it is a lot of times with religious people? Don't you think it'd be better if we just went with the Bible and just said, it's for all of us? But they're asking, but in the other group said, oh no, nothing can ever do it. So they're asking him. But here's what he said, for the hardness of your heart. This is apart from the message today. This is apart from this passage. Let me ask you, how tender is your heart today? You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in our world today that is causing a callousness among Christians. There's an anger that's building up. There's a desire to fight and to, and you know what? It's causing our hearts to be hard. One of my prayers is this. God, help our hearts to be tender, to be soft. Jesus looked at him and he says, I know what you're asking and I know why you're asking, and the reason why this happened is because you allowed your heart to get so hard. So they attacked him and they said, we want to know. But Jesus is bringing them back to the Word of God. You know what he's saying? The Word of God will endure forever. The Word of God is settled in heaven. The Word of God shall not pass away. And then notice how he answers. So they attack him and he begins to answer. Verse number 6, Jesus goes back to the Word of God. And this is where our world today needs to go back to. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Jesus has taken them back to a place where they cannot fight, they cannot battle. He's warned them that because of the hardness of their hearts that divorce happens. Jesus responds to their question by reminding them that the only reason why Moses has allowed this is because their hearts had become hard and sin had become rampant in their lives. Hold your finger here and go with me to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, the parallel passage of this. What you have is Matthew has observed this conversation. Mark has heard about it from the Apostle Peter. Both of them record essentially the same thing, but they add different portions to it. Begin with me in verse number 3 and see what Matthew writes. Matthew writes, "The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" That every cause meant for every little thing. "And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" So he's writing this and he's telling them. And then notice he says, "And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain," or "they two, shall be one flesh." Marriage math is this. 1 + 1 = 1. I was thinking about this over the last couple weeks, and I was thinking about different couples in our church, and I was thinking how oftentimes when we think of couples in our church, we don't think of them as a singular entity. Josh and Jatana, that just, yeah, amen. You knew I was going to use you guys, right? Tina and Jeff. There's something there that people just think about. Terry and Jenny. Steve and Carol. Daniel and question mark. We're working on you, Daniel. I've got an ad running on Facebook for you. But he says, "They two shall be one flesh." One. And then notice what else he says here in Matthew. He says, "Wherefore they are no more twain, or no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." He said, why are you asking? You know, oftentimes whenever people ask leading questions like that, they have an agenda behind it. They usually want you to agree with whatever it is that they're saying. And that's how Christ is looking at them. And here's what he says. God has a design for your marriage. Back in Mark, he says, "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female." How odd it is that we have to define that today. I'm going to go ahead and say this. Man does not have the right to define marriage whenever God created marriage. Now, two people want to enter into a legal contract together. If a man and his dog want to, that's fine. They can do that. But don't put marriage in front of it. God's the one that designed that. You'll notice that God made a woman and a man. He did not make a group of people that were free to configure themselves they saw fit. It was not one man and several women. It was not two men or two women. It was one man and one woman only. And any other combination is contrary or against God's original design. Period. There's no room for that today. Notice, not only does he have a design for marriage, but he also has a duty for married couples. Look at it, verse number 7. It says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. They twain shall be one flesh, so then they shall be no more twain." The word twain is an old English word that means two. They shall be no more twain, but one flesh. The idea here is oneness and commitment. Oftentimes, Tina and I agree on things, but there are times that we do not. But there still has to be an understanding of commitment and an understanding of oneness. What the great thing about Tina and I's marriage is this. I am so calm and easygoing and so easily swayed. What I do is I wake up every morning and I stick my finger up in the air and say, "I wonder which way the wind is blowing today. That's the way I'm going." Just, you know, whatever. I have no, you know what our problem is? Tina hates to admit this, but we're almost exactly alike. See, I told you. Almost exactly alike. We are hard-headed and stubborn and opinionated and unwilling to change. But you know, there has to come a time where there's commitment. And it's like, we're committed. Cleave. The idea of cleave means to be glued together. I've used this illustration before. How many of you, whenever you were younger, you used to build models of something? Anybody do that? I did. When I was a kid, way before, you know, television hardly, we had a black and white television when I was a little boy, and then we got a color one. But we had three channels on it. You know, remember some of those days. But I used to build model cars. And I moved from the snap together ones to the glue together. And there was this type of glue that was made by this outfit called Duco, D-O, or D-U-C-O, Duco. And I got whipped more than one time over Duco cement because I would let it drip somewhere, and my dad would walk in and see it. And with my dad, the beatings were first, and explanations came afterwards, all right? But I remember one time I was building a semi, Peterbilt semi models about that big, and I'd put that thing together, and as I was putting the front end on it, I noticed something. I had put the steering box on upside down on the front. Now, many of you don't even know what a steering box is, but I put it on upside down. And I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, it can't work like that. I can't connect the linkage. So what I did is I took a knife, and I tried to wedge in between it. And as I did that, I had my hand underneath it, and I wedged that knife under, and it wouldn't break apart. So what I did is I took my hand, and I hit the top of that knife. It took the steering box off, but what it did is it pinned my finger to the table because it went all the way through my finger and through my fingernail into the wood. You know what I thought? That's not too smart. It was worse when I pulled that dude out. And then I was worried about my model, and I got blood spurting all over the place trying to stop the blood, and I'm thinking, oh, I broke my truck. Because here's what happened. Don't worry about the finger. It's all healed up now. But the truck was forever broken. You know why? Because whenever you took that Duco cement, you glued those two pieces of plastic together, it welded them together. It melted them together. You could never tear those parts completely apart anymore. What it did is it tore part of the frame off along with it. You know what God's saying here? Tina and Jeff, you need to be so glued together. You need to cleave together so much that if you begin to tear apart, you tear apart one another. You're never exactly the same again. God has a duty for married couples. Married couples, oneness and commitment. Some of you, you're thinking, well, I'm not married. Well, there's coming a day. There's coming a day. There's somebody out there. There's somebody out there. Don't worry. There's somebody out there. They've got to be tough. And but the married couple, I'm not just talking about Christy, all right? But they, yeah, amen. But they become tough. They become one in their goals and their direction and their will and their emotions and their mind and their spirit. They move together through life, not as they were a couple, but as they're a single entity. That's what God's design. That's God's duty for marriage. That's what Christ had told. These men came to him and said, how can we get rid of our wives? And Christ said, you're looking at it all backwards. It's not about getting rid of it. It's about how do you stay together? And then notice, he says in verse number 9, the duration of marriage. He says, what therefore God hath joined together. Can I tell you something? I believe that whenever someone gets married, man and woman, it could be two unsaved people, that God joins them together. And he says, don't let that be tore apart. Now, an unsaved person should never marry a saved person should never marry an unsaved person. And there's a lot of reasons for that. One of the reasons the Bible says don't be unequally yoked together. Marriage is tough enough whenever you're both trying to go the same path. But if you've got different beliefs about God and church, oh my goodness, you just don't need them. And the Bible knows that. But Jesus reveals God's view of marriage. He tells these men that are asking that every marriage is made in heaven. Now, not every marriage feels like it's made in heaven, but it is. The Bible says this in Hebrews, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? God says, there's a duty, there's a design, and there's a duration. God is telling us that marriage is always the work of the Lord, while divorce is always the work of man. Now please, don't get me wrong today. I know several in this room today, you've been through the tragedy of divorce. You know what it's like. You know the hurt and the anger and all of that. You say, preacher, what do? You move forward with your life. And you pray that God sends you the right spouse. You forgive. Divorce and remarriage are never commanded, nor are they commended in the Word of God. Both were merely permitted. Now, if you read the book of Matthew, you see that for the cause of adultery is what Jesus finally gets to. And he says, okay, fellas, you want to know why? For the cause of adultery. He says it could happen. But you know what God's better avenue is? Forgiveness. Restoration. I've told couples through the years, there's nothing that the two of you can't get past if you'll let God help you. Nothing. Now you guys laughed about it a few moments ago, but I'm going to tell you something. Tina has had to put up with a lot to stay married to me. Jenny, don't shake your head. It's like, I know, I understand. No. She's put up with a lot. There are times that she could have walked away and many people would have said, move on, sister. She made up her mind a long time ago. We're going to make this work. Sometimes we just have to do that. For now, it cannot be emphasized too strongly that God's ideal for marriage is one man, one woman, for one lifetime. When a marriage is destroyed through divorce, the creation of God is destroyed by man. Unfortunately, sin touches every part. If you're here this morning and you say, I'm married. My marriage is strong. Maybe you ought to commit before this day to pray with your spouse and say, let's keep our marriage strong. Let's honor God. Maybe you should kneel before God and give Him thanks and ask Him to help divorce-proof your marriage. Maybe we have teenagers here, young people that are here, and you need to pray that your mom and dad stay together. But realize this, that many of the people that thought that divorce could never happen to them, it can. Because if you are divorced, or if you're divorced and remarried, and can I say something to you today? You're not a second-class believer. God loves you. God still has a purpose and a plan for your life. And all God's people said, I know that there are some people who treat the victims of divorce like they had the plague. So I'm just going to put this out here, maybe for somebody here, maybe that it's somebody that's watching. If you stuck your nose up in the air and you've acted untoward somebody that's divorced, maybe you need to ask God for forgiveness. Because that's a sense of spiritual pride that's ugly. Whenever people come into the house of God and are around the people of God, they ought to feel and they ought to sense this. These people love me. God loves me. They know I've got some things in my past, but they want to love me like Jesus loves me. Oh, that's my goal. But I know some Christians that are not like that, and it makes me furious. And if you're one of those, maybe you need to stop and realize how bad you're harming the cause of Christ. If you have been divorced, maybe you need to ask the Lord to help you to be effective and to be godly in whatever state you're in. If you need to forgive, then forget. Maybe you're here today and you've just never been saved. You say, wow, I came today and I didn't come for a divorce seminar. Maybe you just need to know Christ as your Savior. Because the next point in the message is this. We're not going to get to it this morning. We're going to stop before 11:30 today, Brother Steve. The next thought in this passage is this. The disciples come to Christ. Let's finish reading the passage, and then I'm going to stop today. Verse number 9 again, it says, "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." By the way, that's a good verse to know. And in the house, his disciples asked him again of the same matter. Those disciples, they were thick-headed sometimes. I appreciate that God puts these things in his word, because there's oftentimes I read things and I think, huh? Notice this. "And he saith unto them, Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery." You know what he's saying? He's saying, quit asking how to get out of your marriage and start asking, how do I stay in it? How do I make this thing work? That's the big key today. Maybe there's somebody here today, your marriage is not what it ought to be. Maybe on the outside, you're kind of putting on this air of, hey, we're okay, but you guys know. You know. Prayer can change a marriage. Maybe God's people just need to get back on their knees. Pray for our marriages. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed today, please.